Hey y'all, welcome to Sisters in a Glimpse. We're two friends turned sisters, sharing glimpses of our walk with Jesus to encourage other believers in the Christian faith. Expect real conversations laced with honesty, laughter, conviction, and all kinds of truth found in God's Word. Our hope is that you will relate to the topics we discuss and will be encouraged to keep growing and keep pursuing God's will for your life. So now, let's jump right into the next episode of Sisters and a Glimpse.
Hello.
This is Abby.
And this is Megan.
And welcome to episode 4.
Is it? I don't know.
No, it's 3. No, it's 4. It's 4.
3 or 4?
It's 4.
I feel confident of that.
I am too. Yeah. It is season 3.
Yeah. How was your day?
It's been good.
Anything new lately?
Well, that was sly transition.
Just asking.
Yeah. Have some big news.
What is that?
Well, last week. Why are we making this so awkward?
Okay, guys. I'm dying, but
so last
Abby
week,
has some news.
Yeah, last week on Valentine's Day, I got engaged.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, you're so excited.
Yeah. So I get to marry a man beyond my wildest dreams. So
I know. And what we're talking about is if you go back and listen to season 1, I think of, was it season 1?
No, it was right around this time. It was like, it was our first episode in the month of March last. So it was season 1, but it was towards the end. It was called It's Just Me and You, Lord.
And this was before Abby's significant other was in the picture. And then to travel to today.
Yeah.
And
crazy.
To see how God has laid out over the last year, just, you know, blessing after blessing, and has fulfilled these prayers and desires of Abby's heart. It's just been really neat to watch and be
very grateful.
Be on the front row to see it all.
Yes.
I've loved it.
Glad you've been. Yes.
So that's some really good news for Sisters and a Glimpse.
Yes, it is.
It's exciting.
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
So we've kind of, y'all know that we have been doing this study in Sunday school. And it's the Christian Atheist. And so we've talked the last 2 weeks, two sessions about it. And we thought, you know, there's one more that we kind of want to discuss, one of the lessons that we did. And so this week we're going to talk about another chapter of this book that's called When You Believe in God But Pursue Happiness at All Cost. And so we thought this was very important to talk about.
Absolutely.
Because
very relevant.
Very relevant. And not just for the world and our culture in general, but for believers.
Absolutely.
In the church, that we can be persuaded by the world and the culture to pursue happiness above God. And so some ways that we do that, you know, really, let's kind of go back, and think about the ways that our culture first tells us that happiness is it.
Money, making money, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, that if you have this much money, then you will be happy. And so it is worth it to do whatever you have to do, even if it is immoral, to get money. It could be that you're pursuing happiness by self-care, right? No matter, like, when we've talked about self-care before, and there's a balance there, but that if you do all of these things for yourself, and if you just take care of yourself, then you will be happy, and that is all you need in order to be fulfilled. Even being married, right? Like, that is the be-all, end-all, that once you get married, once you have a spouse, then everything is perfect, and all of your troubles go away, and that's all. Once you reach that, then you've peaked and you're good to go. And
so it can be good things.
It can be good things.
It can be good things that you desire. And we put those desires
above
God. So we could be pursuing those desires. But then it's also on the flip side. We hear in our culture that you do whatever makes you happy. Like, even if it's sin, if it leads to sin. We see that right now with, you know, the LGBTQ
plus
whatever,
yeah,
the whatever it is,
yeah,
and the transgender stuff. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you feel like that, if that's going to make you happy, then you go for it. Mm-hmm. And you do whatever makes you happy.
Don't think about the consequences. Yeah. Don't think about down the road. Just do mm-hmm. it right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just do it because it's going to make you happy. And that's what God wants for you. That's something that we've been seeing a lot lately, mm-hmm. especially from social media and from big celebrities and Hollywood that's saying, hey, this, you know, the God that I know wants you to be happy.
Yes. And even like the Super Bowl, which was just very recently, we had the campaign of the He Gets Us. So you do what makes you happy because
He gets us.
He gets us. He gets you. He gets where you're coming
he
from.
He wants you to be
and
happy.
He wants you to be happy.
And it's okay.
Because He wanted to be happy too.
Even if it's sin.
Even if it's not right.
Yeah.
And against the Bible.
Yeah. And like with Taylor Swift saying how the Bible is outdated now, mm-hmm. you know, that now you are to love everyone and do what makes you happy and let people be happy. Let them be happy and you should be happy for them.
And it's all about you.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
never comes to what does God want. It's just all about thinking what we want.
Hey, and we even see this, like, in pulpits across America of pastors, preachers, so-called pastors and preachers saying, God wants you to live your best life now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. Yes, God does want to bless you, but does God want, is His purpose for you on this earth to be happy? No.
No. And there's sacrifice involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there, in order for us to, I mean, there, no one, everyone wants to talk about the blessing. No one wants to talk about sacrifice.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Most people. I say that. The false teachers, like
majority that we see.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of want to talk about that and how that is a lie from hell. Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
And that's a way for the enemy is behind that, no doubt.
Right.
But
it's also so, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
It's so easy to fall into. Like anyone can find themselves just thinking of themselves because we're selfish in nature.
I know.
Like, we're selfish beings.
I know. So we have to be on guard for that as believers and not just, you know, put these walls up and think, oh, that's you and that's them. But, I know, we have to look at ourselves and think, okay, where in my life am I pursuing happiness above God? Am I pursuing other things that I think will make me happy instead of pursuing the Lord?
Right.
And so when we were doing this lesson in the book with Craig Rochelle, and he says, God doesn't desire happiness for you. He doesn't want you to be happy. And that can sound crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, if you tell somebody you that, it's like, what? That's not right.
Yeah.
I thought God is good. I thought God wants you to be happy. And that sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is God does not desire happiness for you because something that makes you happy might not be what's best for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, that we start to think of God as someone who is here to serve us. Mm. Like, that we deserve to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
That we deserve all these good things.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve to be happy. By golly, we've worked for it. We've been here for 20-something years or 30-something years or 40, 50, however long. We deserve, at this point in our lives, whether young or old, to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And how dare Him withhold happiness from us.
Yeah.
And we forget that we were created not to be happy, not for our own selves, but to serve Him, whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like. And you look at the lives of the disciples. When they became followers of Him, when He called them, they gave up everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Surrendered it all.
And I think, you know, we confuse joy with happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, yes, you are full of joy when you are pursuing God, but that's not happiness because happiness depends on your circumstances.
It's temporary.
And so that's why the disciples, yes, they went through so many trials because they were followers of Jesus and they were disciples, but they still had so much joy despite all of that.
Because they were
Because they were pursuing Him above their happiness.
And He was able to bless. Then the Lord was able to bless that unto them.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to just kind of sum up what Abby was just saying, that we begin to reverse our role with God.
Yeah.
That we will begin to forget that our role is to serve a holy God and wrongly believe that God exists to serve us.
Wow.
And we turn, when we think that, oh, God wants us happy and that's all he wants for us, he just wants us to be happy, that we somehow turn him into this magical genie of, well, if I pray enough, if I go to church enough, if I'm good enough, then God's going to make me happy.
Yeah.
You know? And the dangerous part of that is when that doesn't happen, What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do?
Yeah.
We tend to wander away. We tend to fall away from God because, wow, I thought I was doing all the right things and I'm supposed to be happy, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So why is God not doing what?
We start to second guess his character.
Yeah.
And another thing that we can forget. So one, we can forget that we're here to serve him. But two, we can forget that we are simply passing through this earth. Mm. Like we are not, this world is not our home. And everything here, even if we live to be 100 years old, 100 years in comparison to eternity is a snap. I mean, that is so...
Have you seen that... is it Francis Chan that does... He gets this really, really long rope and he puts...
I have seen that. There's a sermon
I think
about
I've
it.
Seen Francis Chan do it. Maybe some other people
there's
have, too.
There's also, like, a box... Have you seen, like, the... it's, like, a picture of all these boxes and it shows you, like... I don't know, it's a summation if you lived like 85 years or something, and it's just like it looks so like wow, it puts things into perspective of whoa, it really is, the Bible really is true of this life is but a vapor. I mean,
and we think of, I think of the rope because we look at this little, you know, 4-inch piece of the rope and that's our life. And just the rest of the rope just goes on and on and on and on forever.
Wow.
But we're so focused on finding happiness in that 4-inch piece of rope. And we're so focused on that and what we can get there. And we forget about eternity and doing things in that four-inch piece of rope for that affects our eternity.
Yeah.
And we just want to do something that affects right then and right now.
Wow.
And that's how we pursue happiness in this culture, that we just go all in for what will make us happy right now and forget that what we do now affects the rest of eternity.
And once we're there, we're there.
We're there. And there's no redos.
No.
Like, you don't get there and say, you know, I think of when the rich man died.
Yeah.
And he's crying out, like, have him come, what was it, the Lazarus, the poor beggar, you know? Can he go and just bring me something? They're like, no. Like, and he's begging, like, please. And we don't realize that once you're there, it's fixed for eternity.
And you're aware that you had the opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't go back and redo it. And you can't, you know, I also think of, because I'm a mom, I think of, you know, I don't want to, for Ava to be 20 years old and me look back and think, man, I wish I would have spent more time with her at this age, or I wish I would have done more of this with her at this age, and focus more on this with her then, because you don't get that time back.
It's done.
You can't redo that time. And so we always have to, you know, look for eternity. Look, take advantage of the time that you've been given and not think of it as, let me pursue happiness right now in this time. And for the time that I have, let me get all that I can and get all the happiness I can desire. But think about, okay, what can I do now that will bring me joy and what will affect eternity? And the only thing is to pursue Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you think about anything that specifically thinking of things of this world, so sin, that people may embrace in order to feel happiness. It is so, it's funny how, you know, people will get, and I've been there. I say people, but I mean, we all can have the tendency to get fixed on doing something over and over again, but yet never stop to realize that the fact that we're doing over and over again is because it's not fulfilling us. Like we fail to see that it is so temporary, that that's why we become addicted to it. That's why we become latched onto that behavior. That's why it becomes a habit.
It
doesn't last. And so therefore you keep on trying. Okay, well, maybe this time, maybe this time, maybe this time.
And that's insanity. And
it never does. And insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And it never happens, because it's not supposed to, because the Lord never meant for it to. The Lord never meant for anything of this world to ever fulfill us. And he doesn't expect. One of the points that you had on here was that God will never want us happy in our sin.
Ever.
So anything that goes against his word, mm-mm. you can bet everything on the fact.
Bottom dollar.
Yeah. You can bet everything on the fact that you will not. You can try and try and try and try and try again. It's never going to
satisfy you. Think of King Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Literally had everything you could ever want in this world.
More than any person that has ever lived.
He had all the women he could ever want.
All the
money. All the pleasure he could ever have, he had it. Mm-hmm. And beyond. Mm-hmm. All the money you could ever have and beyond.
All the possessions.
All the status you could have and beyond. The power. Everything. Yep. He had it all. And he was still... He at the end of his life, he was miserable, looking back on how he had spent his life pursuing happiness and trying to find things in this world that would give him that happiness that he was craving, and failed to realize that nothing in this world can bring you that. No, nothing.
It's like chasing the wind.
That's what he says.
It just, you're constantly, and because of... And that's why it's so important to know and to recognize that we were not ever created to be happy. Because if you don't recognize that, then you are going to waste all of your time trying to chase something that is just not, it's never even been there. Yeah. And it wasn't created to be there.
You can't grasp it.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. So there was one quote from this book that I wanted to read. Because I think this can be a short podcast.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
So there was one quote that I wanted to read, and it kind of hit me when I was studying this lesson and how he put it. So this is from Craig Rochelle, and he says, "Our culture has conditioned us to believe that the things we don't have are the things that will make us happy. When we chase peaceful circumstances, then if we don't like a job, a boss, a salary, or a coworker, we just move on. If a class is too difficult, we drop it. If a commitment takes too much effort, we abandon it. If we aren't chasing peace, then we're looking for thrills, a hobby, a sport, a vacation. When one thrill fades, it's time to pursue the next one. Or we might be in pursuit of the ever elusive true love. Blinded by stories of happily ever after leave us seeking and in need or seeking a needle in the haystack so they can make us happy. And if we aren't pursuing the perfect person, then we are pursuing the perfect appearance. If we could just look better, everything would be better. Diets, gyms, tanning beds, clothes, Instagram filters. When we believe these things..." Oh, my computer just died.
Oh, no.
That was the last sentence. But anyways, you get the gist of it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was reading off a computer, guys, and it just died.
It's okay.
That was the last sentence. But the fact is, we can spend our whole lives, just like what we were talking about with Solomon, chasing these things, never finding the pleasure and happiness we want. And in the end, we're still left with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We're left with nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I remember when you read that, and I thought, oh, wow. Because I see myself so well. I still think back, and this sounds so ridiculous, and it's terrible because it was only a few years ago. But I remember my second year of coaching. I was coaching volleyball and soccer at the high school, and I was teaching high school public speaking. And I look back, it was... The Lord absolutely, it was exactly where I needed to be. But I remember it was hard.
Yeah. High school public speaking and teaching that?
It was hard. Ugh. And I was not at that time, I had not developed a very authoritative personality. And so I was having to work through those things. And what was crazy though, was that I was holding it together enough on the outside to where no one realized that, I don't think. Except for my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come home and I would tell them about it. But anyways, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I would have to be like, Lord, you're going to have to help me be authoritative. Like, I can't do this without you. I'm scared to death. Like, what if, you know, what if this happened? I would just think of all of these just what if scenarios of bad things happening. But anyways, it was hard. And I remember coming home and I told my parents, I was like, you know what I think I'm going to do? And I knew it sounded ridiculous, but I was just so like, I was tired. I was weary of having that conversation with the Lord every day and like being that way. I was like, I think that I'm just going to do this. Like, I'm going to start selling houses, which is so not like, so not.
Let's just go to something else.
Let me just do something else because it was hard. And I was constantly at that time, and I just going to go. Which there's nothing wrong with getting, you know, if you feel called, if you feel led to do that, that's one thing.
But
something's hard, that's not, I'd thought about all kinds of jobs and I'd brought them to my parents. I was like, you know, I think I could do this. And every time they'd be like, Abby, are you doing it to run away from where you're at? Or is this something that the Lord has actually put on your heart?
I love your parents.
I do too. And I'm so grateful that they did that because here I am now, I'm still teaching. Is it still hard every day? Yes. Like, it's hard, but there's also no utopia. Mm-hmm. And without that wisdom of, I at that time, and I still have that tendency a little bit of, I'm a runner because I like for things to be
easy.
And on the back of this page, you had us talk about, you know, what kind of happiness are we more tempted towards?
Yeah.
And it was like possessions, thrilling experience, the right relationships, perfect appearance, and then the peaceful circumstances. Mm. That is me to a T. Like, I just want everything to be okay. That's just in, I mean, it just, that is just, I want everyone to feel happy. I want everyone to feel happy. I want them to feel loved. I want everything to just be at peace. Mm-hmm. And so whenever for the first time in my life, I was really experiencing in my heart and myself, I was not at peace because I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to do what the Lord was asking me to do. Mm. But I remember having that conversation with them and thinking, okay, Lord, this isn't about me. You haven't, because I love to have just my own little shop where I get to do, you know, this, where I get to make cakes or do these things that I knew that the Lord did not call me to. Mm. Like, there again, I'm not saying that you can't do that. Like, the Lord calls people to different things. But for me, I knew that that was me. If I would have acted on that, it would have been sinful.
Yeah.
And I would have been doing something just for my own sake rather than sitting in the
uncomfortable
and the unhappy and learning how to find my joy in not what was around me and not the fear that was around me, but instead finding it, okay, Lord, you've called me here, so you have something for me here. And by golly, he did, and he has, and he's continued to, because I love what I do, because I've seen what he's taught me just over the years. And so the encouragement that comes from that is, if you are unhappy, don't try and pursue it in other things. Don't try and, again, oh, I would speak to singles, okay? If you want to be in a relationship, don't try and go and find happiness in all of these other, don't get on, you know, all these, don't get on five different dating sites trying just to match with someone that you don't even know them from Adam, just because you're lonely or you want a spouse or you may just want a good time. It's not worth it, because I'm just telling you, it's temporary. And if the Lord is not going to bless something that, when he's asking you to be still and he's asking you to sit in the uncomfortable and sit in, maybe he's just telling you, hey, just stay focused on me. Mm-hmm. Just be content in me. I've got you here. Just trust me. Mm-hmm. You may not want to be here. You may not be quote unquote happy here, but you trust me. And I've got joy.
Happiness is not the end goal.
Joy is ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you got to trust me. Yeah. And all of that roots back to, you've got to have a relationship with the Lord, right? You can't have that conversation with the Lord if you're not intimate and personal with him.
No.
So you've got to be spending time with him, not spending time with your friends saying, hey, you go, you know, get on this dating site. Have you tried this dating site?
Yeah.
Have you thought about this job? Have you thought about that job? Have you thought about moving to this place, that place, all the other places? Mm. Not saying that outer wisdom isn't beneficial at certain times, but from the right people. But the biggest conversation that you have to have is, you've got to go before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what are you telling me to do? Is this your call, or am I just trying to chase happiness Because if I'm chasing happiness, then it's not going to last. And if you're asking me to surrender my happiness for your will and what you have for me to learn, I'm willing to do it, whatever it looks like. Whatever it looks like. Because ultimately, too, you look at the examples of the disciples or of all of his followers and think, okay, like, they weren't just living it up all the time. Mm-mm. But they were, like you said, full of joy and satisfaction because they were in his will and they were seeking him. And they experience, I mean, it's not about us. Yes, he does have blessing for us, but it only comes from us seeking the
blessing
joy of the Lord.
Blessing comes from obedience, yes, too, from following
that too.
Lord.
Yeah.
Man, preach, Abby.
That kind of went a lot of different
ways. No, but I'm just sitting here and taking it all in.
I just think that it's so easy, like we talked about at the beginning, to forget that we're... And again, I'm talking to myself too, of like, we're not meant to be happy here.
Fulfillment, like, can only come when we stay connected to the vine.
It can't be about us.
Like, that is the number one priority of, you know, when Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Like, the number one job of a branch is stay connected to the vine. Mm-hmm. Without staying connected to the vine, you perish, you fall off, you die. And to find true fulfillment can only come from staying connected. So that's your number one job as a believer, is to pursue God, to pursue the vine, to stay connected and abide in him above all else. No matter if you think you're happy, if you're not liking your circumstances, or if you want bigger thrills and you're on social media and you see all these lies and you get the FOMO, like fear of missing out, and you want what others have because you think they're happy and you want happiness. No, bottom line is Jesus said, if you stay connected to me, you will bear fruit. And that is our job. That's our number one job, is to bear fruit for him.
And that brings the fulfillment. Because if you're bearing fruit, then you are fulfilled.
That's why the disciples, look at them, how fulfilled they were. That's why when they could sit in a jail and sing joyful noises when they're being persecuted and beaten and they're starving alone and cold in a jail cell. That doesn't come because of their circumstance. That comes because of who they are abiding in.
And I think one more thing, because we said this was going to be shorter. Sorry, and here we are, 26 minutes. But I don't remember if you talked about this, but if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And so you are the Holy Spirit's home. I mean, he is dwelling
he's
within
you.
And
you are
so
the temple.
You have to ask yourself, okay, if I do this, is the Holy Spirit, I mean, he's there. Like, Jesus is watching. He sees our every move. And that's not, again, not to scare us or anything, but he is with us
fear of
at
the
all
Lord.
Times. And so are you pursuing something that he would not want to
partake in?
Partake in. Exactly. I'll leave that at that, because that could be a whole nother podcast.
It could be. But we'll write that down.
Yeah. Keep that in our pocket.
Yep. We're going to put it in our pocket, guys.
Put it in our pocket.
Okay. So last week I did a favorite.
You sure did.
So
my
you
favorite.
Got something?
Well, I can think of something. I honestly do not. But I think I have talked about this, but we sang it at church yesterday. I think I've talked about this, but maybe not.
I don't know.
There's a song right now, and it's called Worthy of It All. And we sang it in church yesterday, and I think that Maverick City released it with Phil Wickham. I'm going to look right now so that I can make sure.
Forgive me. The whole time yesterday.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And we just sang it like we ended it just a
cappella. Just listening to the words.
Yeah. But yes, it's Phil Wickham and Chandler Moore in Maverick City, and it's Worthy of My Song, Worthy of It All. And it is a, I mean, there's a, I think that there's a hymn that's just Worthy of It All as well. But anyways, go look up one of those versions of Worthy of It All, whether it is the old hymn or the new version of Phil Wickham and Maverick City, and you will be blessed because it was beautiful. And it's so simple, and the lyrics are, I mean, from you are all things, to you are things, you deserve the glory.
Yes.
You're worthy of it all. Jesus, worthy of it all.
Of it all.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. Well, that's it for this episode.
Yes,
so
it is.
So we will talk to you next time.
Yep. We'll see y'all. I'll talk to y'all next week. Y'all have a wonderful rest of the week, and we love y'all.
Bye, guys.
Bye.